Oh, there we go. We're live.
Yeah.
Let's fucking do it.
Hey, everyone. I'm Tay.
And this is Emily.
And you're listening to Plants for All People, the podcast. Today, we're coming in hot with some houseplant hot takes. I love this. This is what I live for. How about you, Em?
I love it.
What are you most excited to... Oh, never mind. No, we'll get into it. Spill the tea, sis. Please.
Yes.
So what you been doing lately? What's new? What's good? It's been a week, right? Since we recorded last.
Mm-hmm. Just getting ready for good old school to start. A week left of freedom and then back to the old grindstone, as they say.
Grindstone. My life lately has felt a little more like mortar and pestle.
Mm-hmm.
Little grindy. Just finished. I like the hand.
The fist.
No one else can see it, but it did look like Emily was jerking off an invisible dick in the air. So. excuse me. Just had a bagel, not sponsored, but the Bagelry in Bellingham. I did have to wait 30 minutes. No shade. I was eager for my bagel. Got my pickle here though, so we're good. I've been moving. I moved yesterday. It was garbage. The weather was terrible, but I'm pretty much done now. So I'm in my new place, which best I can hope for, right?
Just the plants left, right?
Yes. That's why when we do our sparking joy bit, I'm going to say it right now. What's sparking joy for me is that I'm fucking done moving. No plant is sparking joy for me in the way that being finished with moving is sparking joy for me.
That's valid. That's fair.
What about you? What's sparking joy for you? You got to do a plant because I couldn't.
Okay. Hold on. Let me grab it really quick. I'll show it to you.
Well, no one else can see it.
Bye.
Okay. Oh, she's dripping. My little anthurium has a third leaf.
I know.
But she's really dripping.
Oh no, she's making a mess. Oh, but she's really dripping. She's excited to see you. Are you bottom watering or are you just excited to see me?
Oh, there you God. Go. My anthurium crystallinum that I received from Tay as an unrooted single leaf cutting, which we'll talk about those in a minute.
Yeah, we're going to get there. Don't you worry. I actually got it from someone locally. I think her name was Rose and she had like a big plant and didn't know what she had. And she was like, hey, do you want a couple of cuttings of this? And I was like, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Had no idea if I could root them, but they rooted out. Emily did a great job with hers and mm-hmm. mine's doing pretty well too. I did just notice it had thrips and my dumbass decided it would be a good idea. Okay, bear with me here because it was a good idea in theory. I decided to lint roll the bugs off, but it ripped the leaf.
I have heard people say double stick tape. I keep doing these hand motions that look vaguely sexual.
They're vaguely sexual. Y'all can't see them. Hopefully Emily will just like take this clip from the video and put it on the TikTok or on the stories for everyone to enjoy. Anyways, I have seen people talk about, including Daryl from Houseplant Journal, which I respect, but he did a much gentler tape. I went in with the like heavy duty cat. I have two cats in my household lint roller and it was not good. I like, there's just little like chomps out of the center of the leaf now that just like rolled right off onto the paper. Oh, so,
well, that's okay. That's why they grow more leaves, right?
Yes, absolutely. I love that thought process. Well done. Anyways, let's get to some hot takes, shall we?
We shall.
And I have one that I have been literally waiting to say all day. And I think more people will be on my side now because when I first started believing this hot take, this unpopular planty opinion, I feel like philodendron pink princess were king shit. Everybody was interested in them. Everybody wanted one. Everybody had to have one. They were like, I need that. I think they suck. I think they're ugly. I don't care about them. I don't give a shit about philodendron pink princess. I understand that people like them though. I get it. I'm not going to yuck mm-hmm. your yum, but yuck, bitch. Yuck. So that's my first hot take. Like I said, I think things have changed. They've become more available commercially. Mm-hmm. Due to tissue culture and just more and more people sharing and propping and growing, which we love. Mm-hmm. But I think they've lost their luster a little bit for other people. So hopefully more people will be on my side with the PPP are ugly thing.
You know, I think a lot of that is like the commodification of it. Like now that you can get it, you know, yes. a lot more places yes. than you used to be able to for a lot less money, people are like, oh, I'm actually over this now. It's not yeah, as exciting because I can don't get care. It whenever I want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was us with literally any plant we got in the shop. Yeah. Yumi would like vie over things. We're like, oh my God, I need that. I need that. I need that. And then like we would get it in the shop. And we'd be like, non-committal wiggly hand gesture. Don't really care that much. Have you any interesting hot takes you would like to share with the class?
Okay. On the kind of, you know, collector plant train of thought here, I think that philodendron gloriosums are like way more trouble than they're actually worth.
I sold mine. I sold mine. I said, no, you can't live here. Survival of the fittest, honey, out.
Yeah, you gave me, or I don't know how we acquired the one that's in my care now. I think you gave it to me.
It was a trade. We traded yeah. for some alocasias with a friend of mine down in like North Carolina or something like that.
She has been the like littlest bitch ever. She like,
oh my says, gosh. I'd like to die. Actually, she I'd like to just suffer and die. Thank you.
One tiny, very crumpled leaf. And she has,
she's me right now, honestly. You know,
I don't think that they are worth the money. They're gorgeous, but unless you are like very seasoned or are just fucking lucky, I think that they are more trouble than they're worth. They're really hard to keep happy.
They're beautiful though.
Much rather go look at one at like a botanical garden yes. where, you know, there's botanists who know what they're doing, taking care of it, and they have the proper environment, because even in my greenhouse with, you know, controlled humidity and light and such, it still hasn't pushed a leaf in months. So
she still says to you, you know, all this specialized care you're giving me, I've thought about it. I appreciate it. I really do. But I've decided I'd like to die instead. Sound good?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I should sell mine. We'll see. We'll see about
trade,
that. We'll
update. Trade. Who wants we'll your update. Little crumpled leaf? Mm-hmm. One little crumpled leaf for trade. Thank you very much. Okay. Do you have any more hot takes? That was kind of like my one. I feel like more is going to pop up, but what I really want to do is I want to dig into what our Instagram followers put in our question box. Some of these are very hot takes.
Yes.
Like a little hot potato. Like I don't even want to touch some of them, but we're gonna, because that's what we're here for. Right.
So if you missed it on the Instagram earlier this week, we posted a little question box asking for listeners to tell us their houseplant hot takes. And we're going to work through some of those with y'all now.
Yes. Do you want me to go first? I want to read.
Yeah, you start. You start.
Okay. So this one is a little bit of a hot take. I would say that I agree with it mostly because I'm an anti-capitalist and I think plants are for sharing. So what it says is, excuse me, bagelry burp. Selling cuttings from plants isn't a quote unquote purge. It's capitalizing off fellow plant lovers. I will say I agree with this one. I also understand though. Okay. I think the difference between the two things is if you take the time to root those cuttings out, that's a mm-hmm. whole ass plant. That's mm-hmm. different. You put time, effort, money, a water bill to presumably water these plants and caretake them, electricity to have a heat mat going. I think then at that point, it's a plant. Mm-hmm. There's another hot take a little lower down talking about mid cuts. And I have feelings about mid cuts. Mid cuts do take a little bit longer. You got to push a new growth point, all that stuff. But if you're literally just selling cuttings, mm-hmm. I think they need to be incredibly reasonably priced mm-hmm. because yeah. you're selling someone a gamble, yes. right?
Yeah. You can't be selling someone a cutting of something for the same price that you would sell a rooted plant for.
No,
that I definitely agree is capitalizing off of people.
Yeah. So. Okay. So I think we're both in agreement with the caveat that it depends on if the person puts the effort in to root it out.
Yes.
We're talking about a rooted cutting that maybe has a new little growth point pushing. That's a different story. Or if it's just a cutting and you're saying, throw me $5-$10 just so I can get my money back for the original plant. That seems mm-hmm. fair to me.
Yes.
Okay. I like that one. Well done, yeah. everyone. You came in hot quick. I loved it. Okay. Emily, take the next one. You will like okay. this one too, because you're we'll a former Calathea bitch.
It didn't last very long, I'll tell
you
that.
No, it did not.
Okay, this one says, You only truly appreciate a pothos after you've killed five Calathias.
Hear, hear.
Absolutely. If you have been following us since our houseplant business days, you'll know that I once proclaimed myself a Calathea queen. I have stepped down from that position. I have abdicated the Calathea queen.
You did rather quickly, mind you.
It got so bad. I don't even have any in my collection anymore because they're just very frustrating.
And I do. And I talk shit about them all the time.
We stopped carrying them for the most part in the shop as well because they weren't happy in our
just
care.
Just like your little crumpled gloriosum, they wanted to die.
Truly wanted
they
to
said,
die.
They said, let me shuffle off this mortal coil. I would like to be brown, crispy, and ugly. So goodbye.
We gave them humidity. We gave them so much humidity, in fact, that water pooled on the leaves and then they started to rot. It's just it's too much. There's too much some me. Really cool people on Instagram who are truly Calathea masters.
Good for them.
And those are the people that you should look to if you're looking for advice, because listen, we cannot give it to you.
If I wanted this amount of responsibility, I would birth a child. Okay.
Truly.
I would just absolutely get impregnated, pop out a baby, and then have to take care of a human being, because damn you, Calatheas, the bane of my existence. I will say I have one in my collection. I think it has technically been reclassified as a Gapertia variety, but it's the Calathea orbifolia. Stunning. She's crispy as fuck. She was for a while beautiful, happy, gorgeous, brand new leaves, no crispiness. She was literally sitting on top of my humidifier. Like the only way this bitch was happy. So anyways, y'all know how we feel about Calatheas now. Don't come for us. But I agree with this one. Pothos are the OGs. I have one plant in my new room right now, and I'm looking right at my big, beautiful neon pothos that's like got these 6-foot long trailers, just stunning. Ask for nothing. Truly asks for nothing at all. And Calatheas ask for like your firstborn. So
absolutely. Your soul, your blood.
Yeah.
Your sweat, your tears. And it's still not enough for that.
And an $180 humidifier. So good luck with that. Moving onwards.
What? Okay. I feel like this might be a good segue. We're going out of order on our little list, but down towards the bottom, there is someone with a hot take pertaining to pothos. Should we touch on this one?
Yeah. You know what? Since I'm hyping them up so much, maybe we should talk about this.
Okay. You take it.
Okay. So someone said pothos hate me and are always hard for me to grow. I have questions.
So many questions.
Like, I need to know more about what are you doing? Like, I think what happens again is there's this like this understanding that pothos are easy, which I think they are in many regards. But mm-hmm. I will say that because people think they're easy and they talk about how tolerant they are of low light and underwatering and overwatering, I think people push it too consistently. So mm-hmm. they'll go, "You're a pothos.
You're fine.
I'm going to throw you in a dark corner." And honey, plants are fine in dark corners. They just die very, very slowly. Same with snake plants. Same with pothos. Like, mm-hmm. are you looking up at a plant?
I'm looking
in a dark
up at
corner.
Mine. But you know what? She's doing great up there. The
marble queen.
Yeah. The newest leaf she's pushed. I mean, granted, it's a marble queen that looks more green than it does marble, but that being said, pushing
you knew
large
that
leaves.
That would happen because she's further away from the light.
Absolutely. And I think she's pretty as she is. So,
yes. You know what? We have to sometimes love our plants exactly the way that they are, except for mm-hmm. Calatheas. Fuck those bitches. Anyways.
Pothos hate me. Get that on a t-shirt.
You need to love plants as they are, except for Calatheas. Fuck those bitches. First t-shirt idea. Anyone? No one's here. It's just you. You're here for it. So great. But anyways, I have a question for this person. What are you doing to these poor pothos that you're having trouble with them and that they hate you? I find that mine thrive on neglect, but I feel like that's the same information that makes people like underwater them and then they overwater them and then like you get dry rot or something weird happening. And so I feel like it's just one of those things where like maybe you've been sold this idea of this like titanium stainless steel plant and you're taking it a little too far. You know,
maybe this is a good time to reshare one of our pothos care guides that we wrote many moons ago.
I'm down.
And you can find that on our Instagram later this week. If that's something that you're interested in learning more about, how to care for your calatheas, not your calatheas, how to care for your
as well. We're not here to help. We're not. No.
You got
you're on your own, bitch. You're on your own. All right. Okay. And then someone talked about, there was another really good one. I think we could pop back up to that one, because I did touch on snake plants, how they're really durable. Mm-hmm. Can you do me a favor? I know we're kind of going off our list here. Will you just cross off the ones that we've already maybe gone
Absolutely.
Through? I my little ADHD brain just says, please help. So this next one was from Bonnie. Love Bonnie, one of our old customers. I admin with her over at Bellingham Houseplant Circle. And she wrote, snake plants are just big grass. And I don't really I have no notes on that. I think that's just a standalone. I like that hot take. It's great.
What are your thoughts? I don't have any issues with it. I mean, you're not wrong. I don't think that's a bad thing. Maybe you like the aesthetic of big grass. I do.
You do. You like snake plants.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing that I like about them is that you can literally, this is a plant that if you do just shove it in a dark corner and leave it alone and don't put water in it, it's not going to do anything.
No.
I mean, don't let it go too long.
Just
don't let
the roots dry out.
But that being said, they're great.
They're great.
I like that they're easy care. And, some of the snake plant varieties are going to grow outwards more, but a lot of them are very vertical. And
so, yeah. Do you remember the Yellowstones we got that one time that were literally
Yep. They're great for filling vertical space. And especially if you're working with a pretty, limited space and you want something that's going to go vertically and fill
snake plants the are space. Your guy. Yeah. I love it.
So
no notes other than that. Snake plants are just big grass. Yes.
I happen to like big grass.
So. I like big grass as well. I like little grass too. Just, I don't want to touch it. Actually, that's super funny because my mom always tells this story about when I was a baby, she would put me on a blanket in the middle of the yard because I hated the sensation of grass. I still do. I don't know how nobody was like, this person has sensory issues. So my mom would put me on the blanket in the middle of the grass and I would not leave.
It was the 90s, baby. It was the 90s.
I know. We all were underdiagnosed. And now we're all wait, I'm mentally ill? Yeah, bitch. You've been since you were a baby. Chill. Okay. All right. This one's a hot, hot take. I want you to take this top one, Em.
All right. This one says, most Facebook plant groups are toxic, denigrating, and capitalist.
Again, I don't really have notes. It's true.
It's very true. I mean, I think we can both speak from personal experience here that it's supposed to be a place where we're sharing, a common interest, meeting people, like-minded people, learning from each other, sharing. And oftentimes, as things do on Facebook, it devolves into arguments, anger, disagreements, name-calling, unnecessarily so.
Yes. And I think anytime you interweave money and a transfer of money between people into anything, it kind of becomes tainted in a way. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And that's coming from, obviously, again, like we talked about in the first episode, two people who would probably self-identify as anti-capitalists, who also owned a business. So the fuckery, I swear. I think there are plant groups out there that are positive spaces. Mm-hmm. I personally have found Bellingham Houseplant Circle to be a really great space. I feel like people are really supportive. I actually saw this morning that someone, Aaron, mm-hmm. someone gifted Aaron this big, beautiful Cissus discolor. And I think that she was really looking for one of those. And she was standing in front of it so proud and it was so beautiful. So I feel like there are little pockets.
Yes.
Where things can be positive and beneficial.
I think a lot of it comes down to who is kind of responsible for these groups, mm-hmm. who is moderating, who is kind of setting the guidelines, how active people are in and are, able to shut things down if they start to turn ugly quickly, in a way that's fair and still lets people be heard. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a combo of that and the intention that was there when the group was upon the inception of the group.
Absolutely. There are groups, rare buy, sell, trade plant groups that I just have had to remove myself from because
absolutely
it just becomes a cesspool.
It becomes a cesspool, or it becomes a place where I go to be disappointed because there's not a single damn thing I can fucking afford in there. Mm-hmm. I'll see, like, you know, a cutting of this, a cutting of that, and then someone selling something that's not actually what it was. And like, I'm just like,
people getting scammed.
I think mm-hmm. the more nationwide your group is, the more fuckery there will be. If you mm-hmm. keep it local, if you keep it within your community, within people that you know, you've traded with before, you've bought from before, you're going to have less of that kind of toxic, denigrating, and capitalist shit.
Well, because you know the person behind the screen at that point, right? When it's just some random from the other side of the country, you know, you can be a lot more bold with how you interact with people because you're never going to see this person in real life.
Mm-mm.
So.
Well, and then like that gets you, if you're talking about that, that gets you then into the entire swath of groups that are just for like buy, sell, trade, review. Mm-hmm. The drama in there, woof.
If you like tea. There, that's the place for you.
I'm like, I'm not gonna lie. I'm sometimes in some of those just to listen, just to watch, just to be a little fly on the wall.
Just grabbing my popcorn, sitting back and watching the show.
Popping that fucking popcorn in my mouth. Listen, I love it. All right. I think we've talked that one to death, but it was an important one. I appreciated it. And that came from at Monstera Maven on Instagram, who has like a really incredible Instagram. She is a black woman, Plantstagram content creator. She's incredible. If mm-hmm. you don't already follow her, definitely give her a follow. She's really cool. We were connected to her through our friend in Spokane, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
Allie, we love you. I hope you're listening to this. She was like, you guys have to come to Spokane. And I'm like, well, you can listen to our podcast in Spokane. She's like, yeah, I know I can listen to your podcast in Spokane, but you need to come here. And I was like, I'm not coming to Spokane, Allie. I love you, but come on now. Anyways, on to the next one.
Yes.
Moss poles suck ass. Very aggressive. Like, again, just like with the past one, I have questions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering why you feel that way. I'm not in disagreement. I have frustrations about moss poles, mostly with keeping them moist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there are other things that we can use that are more readily available, less environmentally damaging,
mm-hmm.
Easier to like more renewable in a way, mm-hmm. because sphagnum moss is not super quick growing and mm-hmm. is not a very renewable resource, just like peat moss.
Yep.
So I have my own trepidation around using moss poles, but I don't really know, the aggressive suck ass language is what's got me stumped. What are you thinking of?
You know, for me, I'm indifferent towards them. I know that there's a benefit to using them. You know, especially if you're keeping a lot of epiphytic plants and things that want to be able to climb. I've seen benefits from putting some of my plants on moss poles, you know, more mature growth on new leaves and things. My issue is that I have a really hard time finding them. It seems like you really have to be willing to sit down and take the time to make your own, which I don't always do. Or you can buy them sometimes at plant stores, but not everybody carries them.
Or their price tags, you know,
the price tag on them is unjustifiable in my opinion.
As you and I know, they're a pain in the ass to make though, which is they're a pain in the ass reflection to make of the price.
They're labor intensive. Usually, you know, if your business is making and selling moss poles, it has to be worthwhile for your time in order to sell them. And so oftentimes, you know, if you're trying to buy wholesale as a retailer, the quantities that you're required to buy are just like a lot.
Exorbitant. Yeah. Just and ridiculous amounts.
If you're a small business, you can't always afford to drop that much money into something that, you know, some people may like, and some people may think suck ass. So
yeah. Like, well, I think what I want to say to this person is we hear you.
Mm-hmm.
We see you. We know it's frustrating. Just like Emily said, there are benefits to using moss poles. You get more mature growth. It's easier. I find too, if you can get an aerial route to go terrestrial into the moss pole to cut and propagate using kind of the moss as this substrate for propagation and rooting, which I think is great. But at the same time too, I get it. And I also know that you can just as easily get a little bamboo stick and stick it in there and get decent mature leaves and growth as well. So
take some plant Velcro, stick it on there that
way. So. Listen, chopsticks and me are best friend. When I go to like any sort of restaurant where I can get chopsticks, Thai food, whatever, I grab like a handful because I use them to make trellises. I use them for propping up plants. The options are endless. So again, we hear ya. We see ya. Sucking ass is a bit aggressive, but I'll let you have it. And then going right into the next one, I feel like
Emily, it's a good segue.
It is.
This person says, I don't use moss. Shrug.
The shrug is important.
Power to you. I don't think that it's, necessary to keep plants, and use moss in your, you know, your soil mixes or as a top dressing or however you want to use it. I think that there's plenty of other alternatives that work just as well.
I will say though, that I was incredibly intimidated by moss for the longest time. I didn't understand how to water it. I did not understand how to aerate it. I felt like it just dried out and turned into this like crusty little moss brick. And I have since rooted some things in moss, which I believe you did as well with the Anthurium crystallinum cutting.
Yep.
A little moss perlite mixture. And I've gone, and I rooted that ring of fire cutting that I talked about last time in straight moss. And it's really not as intimidating as you think it is. I literally water it just like I water anything else. Like I just like run water over the top of it and what absorbs and what doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there are going to be people who are like, oh my God, Tay, don't do that. You're going to overwater. I don't care. I really don't care. I think when people don't use moss, I'm not like championing for moss either. I'm just saying, I think for a long time, I was also of the, I don't use moss camp. And it was because I was intimidated by it. And I don't feel that way anymore. So
Maybe we can talk more about, you know, the environmental impact of using moss in a later episode. Cause I think that that's a worthwhile thing to touch on too. Just, not enough time to talk about it here today. So
no, and like, not just moss, but the environmental impact of being a houseplant owner. I think the plastic pots, all that.
Absolutely.
Future episode. All right. This one, I'm 100% on board with you. Fiddly figs are not attractive and way overrated.
Agree.
Again,
no more to say.
No. Yes. Agreed. No more to say. Goodbye. And then we got, I'm moving right on to the next one. Cause I feel like that's just like, you know, they were hyped up for a while. I know that that's why people were interested in them. I know that that's why there was this big, like, oh my God, fiddly fig. They are too finicky for me. They are up there with calatheas for me. They want to be not touched, not bumped. You need to find them a sunny spot. They usually want way more sun than most people can give them unless they've got like a really nice, bright, sunny room. And yeah, I just think they're overrated. I think we were sold a lie by, you know, Pottery Barn magazine and all these other like magazines where you see, you know, rooms that are all done up beautifully. And there's a big fiddly fig. I'm like, yeah, they went and literally bought it like that and put it in there for that day. That's why it looks good. So I think it was just that we were sold a little bit of a lie. So
ficus varieties are not easy.
No,
I'll say that.
I don't like them.
I don't even really have any like ficus elastica varieties anymore because I've had trouble with those too.
They want a lot of light and they want to be left alone. And I just feel like we can't always provide that. So then this next one, there was actually two that kind of were of the same vein.
Yes. I'm going to cut them and put them next to each other.
Perfect,
on the list.
Perfect. I want you to do this one because I know you have feelings about fungus gnats.
Yeah. Okay. So there's two that are basically the same. I'll read them both now. The first one says gnats are annoying, but aren't a big deal. And then the second one says fungus gnats are not a big deal and people need to calm down and dry their soil.
That was Margaret.
You know, I would say that, as someone who is a little bit, afraid of bugs, who has a bug phobia,
Emily, come on.
A little bit.
This bitch is afraid of bugs. She's gotten a lot better. I'll give her that.
Fungus gnats really don't bother me. I mean, because I know that they're not really like causing any harm. They're more of a nuisance. They're like fruit flies, you know, they suck ass. I'm going to keep calling back to that this whole podcast.
I know. I don't use that terminology often enough. I think I'm going to bring it into my lexicon.
Yeah, they're annoying as hell, but like, it's not cause for like a complete meltdown.
No.
In the way that I feel, you know, other pests do call for, maybe more so.
Spider mites. Anyways. Spider mites.
Bitches. Yeah. I feel like fungus gnats are really easy to deal with if you have the right tools. If you followed us for a while, you know that we're big advocates of using mosquito bits and sticky traps in combination. And we've had the best success managing them that way. And again, bottom watering is great, making sure that, you know, any dead, dried off foliage isn't sitting and decaying on top of your soil, because that's what they're looking for, is that decaying plant matter. That's what they, you know, eat and survive off of. So just keeping your plants as tidy as possible, and avoid overwatering as best you can. You know, make sure that your plants are getting adequate light so that they dry out properly.
Yeah, I think people just have a weird idea about like needing to keep their plants consistently moist. And I think like that's what the fungus gnats like. So, you know, if you think about a plant outside, it's not raining 24/7, even in the rainforest, there's moments of allowing things to dry out. So yeah. I agree that they're annoying. I'll give you that. I'll throw you that. But they're not anything to stress about. I agree. No. It is a bit of a hot take though, because people are weird about bugs.
It comes with the territory. And maybe we can talk more about pests in another episode as well. We're just, you know, coming up with all kinds of potential episode topics here.
Absolutely.
But what it comes down to is that pests and bugs are part of the territory when you keep houseplants.
Yes. And I didn't know that when I first started. Many plants perished because of my lack of knowledge, and I thought it was me. But it was just me not knowing. And I also want to drop this little nugget for everyone here. If you have a pest problem, you're not a bad plant parent. Pests happen. It's all right. You're doing great. We believe in you. On the topic of pests, I would like to skip down a few to the one that Maya from Planty Queens put in, which, sidebar, Maya is getting married to her fiance Cameron today. So I wanted to shout out Maya. I hope her wedding goes great. I hope her
wedding day, Maya.
Yes. Emily's following after you, hopefully in the next couple of years here. I don't know. We'll see. But anyways, Maya wrote, neem oil isn't a fix all. And I,
amen.
Cheers,
bro. I'll drink to that.
Exactly.
Holds up water.
Hey, I'm proud of you for hydrating instead of just mainlining coffee today.
Mm-hmm. That was plenty.
I wanted coffee, but I had coffee yesterday while I was moving. And then my friend came over to bring me food, and I was like not having a good time. Like I was just like pacing around my house, like over caffeinated and sweaty and hot. And I was like, what else can I do? I'm like, oh, so anyways, no coffee. But anyways, Maya said neem oil isn't a fix all. Both of us will drink to that. Cheers, bro. Neem oil, first of all, smells bad. It's not my favorite or first choice for pest control. I know that people love it because it's natural and organic and all that good stuff, but it smells bad. It smells
really
like rotten peanuts. I don't like it. I don't really think it works that well. I think if you're wanting to use it diluted as a little bit of a leaf shine, go for it. But I think there are 100 different things that I would recommend for pest control and pest management before I would recommend that. The one thing I will not recommend to you is using mayonnaise, because apparently people use mayonnaise as leaf shine. Don't do that. We don't like it. Don't do that.
Put
it on your sandwiches instead. Make yourself a nice tuna salad or something.
This is a sidebar, but I saw this Facebook video the other day of a bunch of different ways to take care of your houseplants.
They need to stop with that.
Weird shit. Don't do that.
Don't listen to those. That is bad soup, if you know what I'm saying.
Real bad soup.
Bad soup. Don't do it. So anyways, I thought going into that neem oil / pest control one from Maya was really good. Neem oil is not a fix-all. It's not my first choice. I don't think it's Emily's first choice. Mm-hmm. We are very pro Dominion Organics. Lacewing Bee smells like rosemary, works like a dream. Emily called it liquid gold. They are out of Ferndale, Washington. We are like we've probably sold a bunch of smaller bottles for them just because we talk mm-hmm. about it so much. So
you can order it online as well. So
cool.
I think it's dominionorganics.net.
I don't know if they have it in smaller sizes. I think they sell primarily for people who grow cannabis out here in Washington State. So I would check on the website to see if they sell little pint containers. If not, Hogtech Hydroponics can mm-hmm. order you some if they don't have some in store.
Love you're local well. To Washington State. Should we take a quick little break and maybe start fresh with a new recording so we don't run out of time on this one?
Yeah, that's fine with me. I like the idea of a little intermission. Maybe I'll make a fake ad and I'll be like, hello everyone, my name's blah 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 with blah blah blah, and I'm here to sell you not neem oil. I don't know.
Perfect. All right, y'all, we'll be right back.
All right, everyone, we are back from our short little hiatus, and that break was sponsored by not having a Zoom account. So
that was a good one.
We're going to try to figure that out so we don't have to do little breaks in the middle, but we're talkers. So, we have a 45-minute limit on these Zoom meetings. We got to make things work, but we're back now and better than ever. Right. Let's dive right back in. I think the next one, again, I just have so many questions. It says Tradescantia should not be on the easy list. I think, bear with me here. What I've seen with Tradescantia is that people put them in places where the lower growth, the tendrils get a lot of light and the light is not on the top of the plant. And so what I find happening with Tradescantia is that people don't like them and they think they're hard because the top of the plant starts to dry out and get crispy and they've got all this lush growth at the bottom and it looks scraggly and weird. Cut the good shit off, root it out. It literally takes 2 weeks and put it right back into the top of the pot. Or get you a little grow light where that plant can get some light on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm not trying to give advice or anything. I'm just saying if they're hard for you, I'm wondering why.
To be fair, I have had my own struggles with Tradescantia. I don't know if it was the quality of the plant. I've really only attempted once or twice. But when we kept them in the shop, I mean, we really had issues, and maybe that stems from the fact that we did have pretty intense like overhead lights on everything yes. that we kept. So
yes. Yeah. And like you said, we didn't have any issues with the ones in the shop, but we also had a different setup than a lot of people have in their homes.
Sure.
So, you know, I'll agree with the fact that they might be a little finicky. They might take a little finesse and practice, but generally they tend to be pretty easy. I think I'd like to call in or have our pal Sid on the podcast, because Sid is a Tradescantia aficionado and they keep so many different varieties of Tradescantia and they keep them all very happy and beautiful. So I think they'd be a great person to ask about any Tradescantia care questions. And I'm literally to myself going, Sid needs to come on the podcast. That has to happen. Of course,
that would be amazing.
We need to have them. Sid is, I want to know their Instagram handle. They work at Baby Greens. They do Baby Greens' like weekly restock videos. And they also have a plant Instagram that's plant.descendant. So if you're interested in giving them a follow, I would give them a follow as well. They post cool care information, really beautiful pictures of plants. And they're also an excellent person. We love them very, very dearly.
Dear, dear friend.
Emily?
All right.
You got to do this one.
there's a backstory with this one. This one says staghorn ferns are ugly. I don't think that they're ugly per se. They just look like they're always dusty. And Tay's going to laugh because of said backstory. The first time I ever saw a staghorn fern, I didn't know what's the correct verbiage for, what sits on top of the leaves.
Let me Google it because I don't know the actual name, but it does just look like dust. And I know that the function is to protect it. I think it's like succulents also have sort of a white powder on them that's actually a natural sun protectant.
So anyways,
can avoid burns.
Tay will find the correct word for what it is that we're talking about. But the first time I ever saw a staghorn fern, I didn't know that they were supposed to be that way. And I was like, why is this so dusty? And I started wiping it off and Tay had to be like, no, that's supposed to be there. And I was like, it just looks dirty. That's my thoughts on staghorn ferns, is that they just look dirty all the time.
So I'm not able to find a name, but basically what it is it's like a dust that allows them to retain moisture. So it like helps them hold any little droplets of moisture that, that lands on the fronds. So
gotcha.
But yeah, Emily tried to dust my staghorn and I was like, no, no, don't do that. Please leave it alone. Leaf it alone.
Please leaf it alone.
I have a staghorn fir and I actually made it with a mount with an ex-partner of mine. And, I think it's cute. I think they're cute when they're mounted. I've seen some that are really big and incredible and beautiful. I like their growth pattern. They're not the prettiest plants. I'll give you that. Okay. On to the next one. Mm-hmm. We did talk about this earlier. Talked a little bit about mid cuts and how mid cuts and top cuts are kind of inherently different because of the way that they would need to be rooted out and grown. Top mm-hmm. cuts obviously have the apical part of the plant, which is the uppermost point that has all of the growth hormone, and that's where all the new growth is going to come out of. Whereas a mid cut doesn't have that. It's going to need to push a new growth point from that activated node after it's been rooted, or sometimes it'll even push a new growth point before it's rooted out. Mm-hmm. But this one says price shaming is bad, but selling mid cuts for just as much as a top cut is sus. I would agree. I think mm-hmm. it's two different things. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said earlier, I also think that it's vastly different depending on whether or not they're rooted.
Yep. Yeah. If you're selling a mid cut, a rooted mid cut and a top cut, they should not be the same price because, as you said, very high likelihood that the mid cut is going to take longer for new growth to start appearing because they do have to push an entirely new growth point. It's not impossible. We can attest to this. We got a variegated epipremnum
panatum
for the shop that we never sold because it was a mid cut. It did eventually push new growth, like quite a significant amount of growth, so much so that we were able to split the plant and keep each half for ourselves.
Yeah.
That being said, it took a long time to get to that point. And if you're selling cuttings, even more so, they should not. I mean, we've talked about it before earlier in the podcast that, you know, selling cuttings, you should really be, you know, selling on the lower end of the spectrum.
Price them accordingly because it's not a rooted plant. It's a cutting.
And it's basically a science project as to whether or not it will ever even root. So
yeah. Granted, I tend to have pretty good success rooting plants. I know you've had pretty good success rooting mm-hmm. plants. I think it really depends on the health of the cutting, the freshness of the cutting. Fresher cuttings tend to root really quickly and have an easier time transitioning to being a stable singular plant themselves. I do want to go back to the beginning of that one though, where it says price shaming is bad. Mm-hmm. I kind of disagree with that. I think some people need to be price shamed. Do you know what I mean? Not like mm-hmm. price shamed per se, but I think if somebody's asking an exorbitant price for a plant that is clearly not worth that much, a couple mm-hmm. people need to comment on that post and be like, hey, pal.
Or if you're taking people for a ride just because you feel like you can.
Yes.
And I would really like to talk more about this in the future as well about, you know,
price gouging and stuff.
Price gouging within the houseplant community. But yeah, I think there's a difference between charging what something is worth and charging what you feel like you can get for something just yes. because of a very inflated market surrounding yeah. houseplants.
Absolutely. Going back to the price shaming is bad thing, I got added by a friend to this group called Are Aeroid People Okay? Are you in that one?
No, I think so. I think you added me to it.
It's very interesting. They, there's been a lot of drama recently because, I'm not even going to mention it because people got doxxed, which is like, that's like, but that group is like not pro price shaming, but they talk very, very much. And people post screenshots of like, oh my God, can you believe this person would sell this plant for this much money, et cetera, et cetera. And, they actually kind of allow price shaming in that group and they're allowing price shaming in this like offshoot buy sell trade group that the group is making. And I just think it's fascinating. Cause like, I think it's totally, like nuanced and like case by case. Like I think there's mm-hmm. situations where people are like, you know, I've priced things before in ways that were a little higher than market value. And it was actually due to the fact that I really didn't want it to sell. And I was like, if someone really wants it and it sells for this much, then I'm fine with it. But like, I also am not like, I'm not going to price gouge people just because I can. So I think that's a whole episode in and of itself as well, is just like talking about the market and pricing, because goddamn. Emily.
All right. This one is quite indeed a hot take.
It is.
This one says Monstera albos are not that cute. Honestly, albo variegation is overrated.
Thoughts? Penny, for your thoughts?
I'm going to have to disagree with this one. I will say that I think that Thai Constellation Monsteras are prettier. That's just my personal opinion.
I agree.
I like the silvery kind of variegation that often comes through on those. I like the fact that the variegation is stable with a Thai Constellation.
And creamier. It's more like yellow based than the albo, which is pretty crisp and pure white, which some people like. I get that.
I wouldn't say that it's not cute. I think that they're beautiful plants in their own right. And I have not too many. I just have three albo variegated plants, but I think that they're pretty and I like them. I would like to mention that maybe the price gouging for albo variegated plants is something that needs to be called into question.
Yes.
But that's a whole other can of worms.
That's a conversation for another day, darling. Yes. I'm definitely team Thai, just like you, through and through. I'm a big fan of stable variegation. The tricky thing is that Monstera albos have much longer internodes, so they are vastly easier to propagate. I think I can't do this one and not say that albo Monsteras are not rare.
Mm-hmm.
They are simply in high demand.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way to get them, and you can get them for cheap. You just need to find the right groups and know the right people. And from Emily and I's experience through the shop, give yourself the gift of waiting and saving your money and buying a fully rooted top cut. Do not fuck around with cuttings unless you want a project and you want to spend a lot of money, because they rot super easily. I think that's probably a big part of this one, is that they're overpriced, tricky to root, and often they are out of people's price range. So people will buy things that are unrooted or like not good quality.
Wet sticks and, you know,
chonks. Yeah. That's a whole other episode too. it just comes with capitalism and the market being the way that it is. So I'm going to kindly say that I disagree with you. I don't think they're as cute as Thais. I do think they're cute though. I think they're pretty. Mm-hmm. I think albo Monsteras and albo plants in general, albo variegated plants are pretty. So
I think I will say, I think that they are overhyped.
Yeah, absolutely. Overhyped, I think, would be a better overrated. Albo variegation is overrated. Sure. Mm-hmm. I can't say albo variegation is overrated, but I can say Monstera Deliciosa albo variegata is overrated.
Mm-hmm.
Emily, right, I have a mid cut. You have a full one. I got to take the next one though.
Mm-hmm.
This is a personal attack. It is frankly transphobic, homophobic. The list goes on. This is
the list.
Yeah. It's disgusting, frankly. this is from my ex. Fuck you, Tristan. Just kidding. We're on good terms. He'll listen to this and laugh at that, so don't worry. He wrote, most Hoya varieties look the same to me. Come at me, shrug. And then I wrote, fucking Tristan, LOL. first of all, you're objectively wrong. Most common Hoya varieties do look the same, but if you become a Hoya collector, there are all sorts of different leaf patterns, variegation, lack of variegation, shapes, sizes. It's like, they're all snowflakes, baby. If you only are going to your local Home Depot or your local Lowe's or your more common place plant shops, yeah, they're all going to look the same.
That's because most of them are just Carnosa varieties.
But as the great Doja Cat once said, get into it, yeah. You know what I mean? If you get into it and you start talking with Hoya people and Hoya collectors, and you get into it, yeah, you will find that there are many different shapes and varieties. So you're objectively wrong. And I'm half saying that because it's true and half saying it because, again, fuck you, Tristan. Now, this next one comes from a sweet friend of mine from Minneapolis, Wiley. Mm-hmm. And I love this one. Because this
is a good one. This is maybe one of the best ones on the list.
It leads me into other similar veins. So mm-hmm. I want you to read this one out loud.
All right. This one says, people joking about their husbands and their plant collections somehow being rivals is annoying and toxic.
I agree.
Oh, absolutely. I would like to say if your spouse or your romantic partner has beef with your hobbies and your interests, maybe we need to do some digging.
Dump him. Mm-hmm. Dump him, bitch. Make him go to therapy or dump him or both. I think in the same vein as this, what it reminded me of is when people, they like do this weird sort of joking thing where like, haha, my husband's going to kill me, but I bought this today. I'm like, that's fucking weird. That's mm-hmm. fucking weird to say. Like mm-hmm. Emily is engaged, as many of mm-hmm. you know, to this incredible man named Casey. And he, okay, y'all, when we were in Minnesota, he was literally video calling Emily like, am I watering this right? Like, that's a man. Okay. That's a fucking man. And if your spouse, significant other, husband, et cetera, I mean, it is generally men, let's be honest, cis men,
mm-hmm.
Who, if they have an issue with things that you love and that you're passionate about, no, it's 2021, darling. Mm-hmm. No, we don't allow that.
Oh, it's the same kind of thing where men are like, oh, you're into astrology. That's not real. But then believe in the fucking stock market and
or listen to Joe Bitcoin. Rogan. You listen to Joe Rogan. Get the fuck out of here.
Your opinion is not valid and I won't consider it.
You know what? If this gets picked up by Joe Rogan podcast, we will really take off, won't we? This podcast is going to become a moneymaker. Anyways, I really like that one. Thank you for submitting that one, Wiley. I think that is like a whole glob and a conversation in and of itself to talk about like this weird thing about like even people like shaming themselves for like, mm-hmm. oh, I went and bought another plant today. I have such a bad obsession. I'm like, if it makes you happy, listen, we're all just looking for little smidgens of fucking joy in this last, mm-hmm. you know, almost 2 years of a pandemic.
Like, chase that dopamine, honey.
Exactly. Chase it. Emily and I are, if you know anything about us, we're very pro chasing the dopamine. If it's a coffee today and you've got $10 in your bank account, Emily and I are getting the fucking coffee. Mm-hmm. And that's both gotta of
find
us right
joy
now.
Where you can in this
exactly,
world.
Exactly. We've already done this next one, so that one can get crossed out.
And then, the list.
Okay, this is kind of the same thing as the like price shaming is bad, but selling mid cuts for as much as a top cut is sus and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Paying $300 plus for an unrooted leaf or a node is ridiculous. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that there are plants out there that are incredibly difficult to get your hands on. Philodendron Spiritus Sancti, you know, variegated Philodendron Bilitii. I think there's plants out there that will go for in the quadruple
tens of
digits.
Thousands.
Yes. Philodendron Ilsemanii is a beautiful plant, but just unbelievably priced. I couldn't do it. It would stress me out too much because I would it's again, if I wanted to have that kind of responsibility, I would just have a child. Mm-hmm. I don't want
it costs just as much.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more insurance that it's going to survive.
Yeah. Yeah. So agreed, hard agree from both of us. I think there's like no scenario. I mean, Emily and I, our entire business was built on like accessibility. Like I don't think we ever sold anything for over $300. And when we posted it, we were like, okay, we can't have this on the website. It's too expensive. It was that one PPP that we ended up selling to someone here locally. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, I think that this kind of behavior is what drives up prices to begin with. I think yes. If we were more willing to share things with people for reasonable prices, more would be in circulation. And it would be, you know, more truly about sharing and less about like chasing clout, which.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, that's a topic for another day, clout chasing in the plant community.
Well, and just the entire system of like pricing and access to certain plants being kind of driven by Instagram and plantstagrams and people hyping them up, influencers hyping up certain plants and stuff like that, which, like, you know, I guess there's probably a portion of time where you and I could be considered quote unquote influencers, but I never felt like what I was doing was, I mean, yeah, we were trying to sell people things occasionally, but we also did just talk about things that we also just talked about things that we genuinely liked. I don't feel, I didn't lie ever. Like, I don't ever, I don't ever feel like I did anything dishonest to get people to purchase something. I talked about things that I liked. And if there are things that I didn't like, we didn't stock them.
We didn't stock them. Or if we had differing opinions on things, we were both pretty outspoken about our feelings on each, because I think that both opinions are valid. It's all just kind of personal preference.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no reason why you should be paying $300 for an unrooted leaf and node. And I feel like this specifically talks about plants like Alba Monsteras. Like, you need to just keep shopping around until you find someone who has a rooted top cut ready to go.
They are out there. They're out there. It's just being patient.
Don't jump just because you feel like this is the only opportunity and one is not going to come again, because it's just not true. Don't waste your money on unrooted stuff. At least at that level, you know, don't spend $300 on something that you don't have any assurance will live.
No,
I mean, just if you're shipping it too, like, there's no assurance that it's even going to survive on its way to you. Mm-mm. So
my rule of thumb is, and there was a time period where my limit was $30 on a plant. That's the most that I would spend on any plant. That was early on in my plant journey when I was searching for some more common varieties that then went up to $50. And now it's around 100. If I find something really big, beautiful, and established, well-rooted, I'll pay $100 for it. Anything above that, I'm going to try to trade for, I'm going to try to barter for, mostly because I'm poor. But also because I think once you start collecting those higher quote unquote caliber plants, you then have some barter power, some trading power that you can kind of trade up for some of those other things. If you're on Reddit, something that I really, really like is this Reddit, a subreddit I'm new called Taplap, or Take a Plant, Leave a Plant. There is some pretty specific requirements in how you make your posts. You kind of have to have like a little piece of paper in it that says your Reddit name, screen name or whatever, and then the date and what you want to trade. But I've made some really incredible connections through there and traded for some really, really cool plants. So that is an option. Emily and I are very pro trading, and we're always going to suggest that as an option before we say, yeah, go spend $300 on a plant. Obviously, if you find a beautiful, rooted, gorgeous, you know, fenestrating Alba Monstera for $300, honey, go for
it.
So that's, I think that's our two cents on that.
All right.
And one last one, last but not least, you want to take it?
I'll take it. This one says, air plants are not easy. I forget to water mine and they die.
Can I make a comment?
Absolutely.
I'm going to get really close to the microphone so everyone can hear me really crisply. Fuck air plants. Every time we ever carried them in the shop, people would ask for them and no one would buy them. They would sit on a shelf and wither away. I don't understand how they're supposed to be watered. I know you're supposed to soak them. They've got like air plant mists. It's too much. It's simply too much for me.
They're too much money for what they are at the end of the day too. When we were buying them wholesale, we were like, this is not worth it, because we can't even like it. Like, we can't even like make decent money. I wouldn't pay as much as what like our kind of standards were for pricing in the shop for an air plant. I absolutely not.
Me either.
I wouldn't even pay the wholesale price.
I will say there's one kind of Tillandsia variety that I do like, and it's the Spanish moss, or Tillandsia, forgive my pronunciation, Usinioides, I think is the pronunciation on that. And it's the one that's like kind of crinkly and trails down. You see a lot of Spanish moss and like down in the bayou in Florida and stuff like that. And it grows naturally in the trees. I think that's really beautiful. And I've had pretty good luck keeping those alive and keeping them happy, just like wrapping them up in a window on a little, like I'll have my, what do you call it? A curtain rod. There it is. My brain's working. And I'll just wrap it around there. And they've been really happy. But the ones that are more compact and sort of look like bromeliads and have these kind of leaves, I don't get it. I know there's people out there who really like air plants. I am most certainly not one of them.
Yeah. And I will say, if you want to have any luck with them at all, don't buy the ones from Trader Joe's that are literally glued into
Don't buy any plants glued into anything.
Yeah.
That's a hot take in and of itself. Don't buy shit that's hot glued. There are plants at Lowe's and Home Depot where they literally have a pot and they have like a bonsai or a fern or something. And then they glue rocks to the top.
Or they fucking spray paint them unnatural colors, blue, why? Orange.
Why?
Who needs that?
Nobody asked for it.
My favorite is the grafted cacti that they literally just like plop it on top and they're like, good luck.
Yes. Yes. And they're going to die. Mm-hmm. The question that I want to ask is, someone decided that they could do it, but did anyone ask whether or not they should? Do you know what I mean?
I feel you.
Okay, I'm going to take a really intense right turn right now because that, I said that this week at work because somebody brought into the staff lounge. I'm not a meat eater. For those of you who know me, I'll eat fish occasionally, but I'm pretty staunch vegetarian. Someone brought into the staff lounge to share, just as a little nugget of their appreciation, beef jerky flowers. It was like a bouquet of flowers, but they were made out of beef jerky. And I said the same thing when I called. Someone said, I'm going to make beef jerky flowers, but that no one ever stopped and said to them, but should we do that? Do we need to do that? Is that a thing that the world needs? No, nobody needs it. Nobody asked for it. And I kind of feel that way about all the shit they do at Lowe's and Home Depot. I'm like, no, just literally put the plant in a plastic nursery pot. We're all perfectly pleased with them. We can repot our own plants. You don't need to spray paint it. You don't need to put glitter on it. None of that. We're happy. We just want the green living thing. And you're kind of making it hard for it to survive when you fucking glue it in the pot. Anyways, I'm heated about this topic, but feeling good, feeling better now. I feel like, you know, this is a little therapeutic for me.
Off your chest.
Yeah. Yeah. Very therapeutic. Anyways, that is kind of our list of the listener or Instagram submitted houseplant hot takes. I loved them. I love doing this in my local Bellingham Houseplant Circle group. The comments on that. If we want to do a round two, I think we should just read through those at some point because there were some really good ones and people got heated too. Like they were like arguing and bantering back and forth, which I
think
love.
This is a fun topic that's definitely repeatable as well because there's plenty of people with plenty of opinions out there. So
if there is anything in the world, there are people with opinions and you and me are two of them.
Absolutely.
Well, should we wrap up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Should we let people know where to find us?
Yes, please. Should I say it or should you?
You can say it. You take it.
You can find us. We're currently mostly on Instagram, and that's where we're going to be posting a lot of our like question boxes where you can kind of interact with us and become part of future episodes. Like today's houseplant hot takes, people were able to submit through a question box on our Instagram stories. You can find us at Instagram at Plants for All People. If you would like to contact us, we are plantsforallpeople@gmail.com. And if you'd like to check us out on the web, we are at www.plantsforallpeople.com. If you've shopped with us when we were a houseplant shop, it was the same URL. We have obviously changed some of the functionalities on the website and switched to Squarespace so that we have the episodes available on there. You can listen right on the website. You can listen on Spotify. And what were the other places that people could listen to the episodes?
You know, we're adding more and more platforms all the time. So pretty soon you should be able to find us wherever you like to stream your podcasts.
Cool. If you would like to come on an episode, I'm going to plug this at the end of every one. We would love to have other people come talk with us. Obviously, Emily and I love to hear ourselves talk, but we'd also love to hear you talk. So please send us an email, like I said, at plantsforallpeople@gmail.com. If you've got a really good topic or idea or something that you want to talk about, whether it's houseplant related or life related, we would love to have you on and chat with us. And it's really easy to do through Zoom. We can pull you on and you can see our beautiful mugs and chat with us about anything your little heart desires. So thank you for listening to our second ever podcast. Em, when do you think this one will be up?
Well, it'll be up when you're listening to it.
this girl's magic, I tell you what. All right. Hopefully it'll be up in the next couple of days here. We're recording it here on Saturday, September 18th, but hopefully it'll be up in the next couple of days. And we'd love to hear some feedback from y'all. So we'll be posting the episode on our Instagram. You should be able to get to any of our links through our Instagram bio as well. And then last time you did mention our Facebook is sort of not a thing anymore because we are not sure if we can change it to being not business. So ignore our Facebook for now. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add, Em?
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.